Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Andrew Hale. Well, as we dive in today, I'm looking at two words with a little bit of ringing going on. Come and rest. I'm going to talk through, there's two different thoughts with that that I've got, and we'll get to that. But before I do, I want to highlight our Rockers Life Group. Are our rockers in the house? Just wave at me if you were at the Rockers Life Group this last week. See a lot of hands, Joanna, there in the back. And this group allowed me to time travel with them, and we went to the Big Dipper over in Converse, the big city of Converse. And if you've not been in there, it's got a kind of a diner feel. What decade would you all say? 50s, 60s vibe. So if you're into that sort of thing, Big Dipper is a place to go and maybe experience that. They got a lot of fried food, and as they advertise, they've got some heavenly treats. Mine was pretty good, but so a part of that trip, and thank you to Carolyn Lowe and Pat Totten for being ones to consistently put together our trips with the Rockers Life Group. So this one was a little extra special because we got to time travel, but also then we went and adventured out into an intersection in Grant County, and we'll throw that first picture up there, Jackson. There's sunflowers and sunflowers and sunflowers. If you've not checked this out, it's worth looking up to go and see how far they go. We stood on the road and we're on our tiptoes, and I thought about getting on top of Jane Underwood's car just to see if I could see the other side of these sunflowers, but we did not do that. And really, that's a neat picture, and I showed it to my sisters who were in town yesterday, and they said, that's like a background you would find on your computer when you buy a computer for the first time. Like, that's the picture you would see, and I took that as a compliment. I think it was meant that way. But who knows? It's my sister's. But there was another picture that we took, and we can go ahead and show that one as well, Mr. Jackson. There's a better picture there, and forget the guy in the front, but these ladies here in front of these sunflowers are just a fun group of ladies, but more than that, they are faithful. They are faithful to one another. They're faithful to the Lord. They're faithful to fried food, and they're faithful to sunflowers. So that was just neat. And there was a couple other ladies who were a part of that day who either needed to stay in the car because of the heat or the uneven ground. But just a lot of fun to get with these folks and to enjoy. And so I ended up being able to ride along with them in the car. And so I'm in the back seat with Mary Pemberton, and Carolyn's driving. And we had Pat Totten up in the front seat. And I'm kind of engaging the conversation and kind of just letting them do their thing and enjoying the talk of our ladies, and I find myself starting to drift off. Right? It's comfortable. Some ladies who are kind of like some grandmas to me, and just riding in grandma's car. I hope that's taken as a compliment. And I fell asleep in the car for probably about half the ride home, and we get in the parking lot of the church, and they say, "We're here." I said, "Oh. It's only 1 o'clock. I've got half a day left ahead of me." And well, I tell that because it's fun. I tell that also just as an acknowledgement of sometimes in life we're just tired, right? We just get wiped out. And maybe we need to go to with the Rockers ladies and get loved on in that way. But, you know, really to look at your life and to consider your circumstances. And you can do that probably better than most anyone else in your life. It's helpful to get some outside perspective. You know, regard your current reality. I'm going to try and look up there. I've caught myself not looking up before. And to be honest with yourself, where are you really at right now? If you take stock of what's going on in life, you take stock of this thing and that thing, and work and home and kids and play and grandkids, and the car needs brakes, and oh shoot, now the water heater needs replaced, and oh shoot, now we've got a leak because the water heater didn't quite do it right, and whatever it might be, but maybe it's overseeing the work teams and businesses. Maybe you are organizing church events here. Maybe you're leading your families and homes. Maybe you're helping neighbors. Maybe you're serving your community. And sometimes when all of that builds up, it's all we can do to just show up, right? Sometimes we can't even feel like we can get out of bed. and then I got to make my bed. Sometimes all we can do is just get in the car and ride along. So hopefully today is a little bit of rest, a little bit of refreshment, maybe even some rejuvenation in your spirit. Maybe there's a rekindling of relationships, either with the person next to you, or maybe as we go through the message, you think of somebody this message is better suited for, or maybe it's just to rekindle a relationship with the Lord. And so I urge you today, as we go through the next few minutes, to lean in, to connect with one another even. Maybe, just maybe, have an encounter with Jesus. So perhaps today you're coming in exhausted. You're barely holding it on. You got your makeup on in the car just as we pull up. You're stressed to the max. Maybe life is in transition and it just seems like the next thing keeps coming and hitting and again and another thing. What are we going to do? Maybe you're just coming with a load. But no matter how you're coming, right? Whether we're coming in excited or we're coming in dragging. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Wouldn't that be nice? To actually have a sense of rest. Or maybe you're like, yeah, right. Jesus, you say this, but then you want me to do X, you want me to do Y, you want me to stack chairs and tables again, you want me to show up and serve on the Olivet, you want me to teach kids class again, even though I taught last week, you want me to show up at my neighbor's house, you want me to do all these things. There's always this call to action. God, where is there room for anything else? Church is requiring more of me. That's all they want. They want you to just give more financially. They want you to give more of your time so they can do whatever they want to do. Sometimes we're just like, hold up, wait a minute. Something ain't right. And I think it's fascinating that Jesus does call us out in an adventure of life to live larger than life and larger than we let it be often. To live above the daily grind, and not to say that we just separate and don't do it, but just to know that is there a different way to live than the way that we continue to find ourselves operating within? And to do this new life in a state of reliance and rest on Jesus. And I find as I sometimes do this well, which I say sometimes, it's probably even rarely I do this well, of relying on the Lord. And so I find that when I do that, though, my worries, my frustrations, they become of little value to me. I don't dwell on them. I'm not bogged down or locked in on this other thing. When all I have eyes for is Jesus, the worries, the frustrations, the ewes and the uhs and the its and the picks and whatever it might be, I'm not worried about them anymore. I don't like them, but I'm not worried about them. And this Jesus guy, he paints a picture for how a life lived like he lays out could turn out for me. How it could turn out for you. How it could turn out for this world. Before I was here, I helped run a summer camp, Quaker Haven. And we send our kiddos there still through Fairmount Friends. But I helped run summer camp. And there came a certain point in the summer where I could not sit down. Not because my knees didn't work, but because if I sat down, I was out. I mean, as you saw, I fell asleep in the 20-minute drive home from just up that way. But I knew that I couldn't sit. I had to keep going. I had to power through. I had to refuse to quit because I've got 100 kids here this week that I need to help lead. I've got another 30 adults who are then trying to help lead these students through these difficult, tough, frustrating questions and uncertainties and trying to be a teenager. Anybody want to relive being a teenager? I saw maybe a half hand raise. I'd go back so I could do it differently, but, right. So So, but in summer camp, how fun it can be, and it's maybe a little easier to choose that fun life. Oh, it's maybe okay to be able to trust the people around me, and I can maybe be okay to sing during the music time, and it's okay to try this new messy game. I really hate getting messy stuff on me, but I'll be okay with it because everyone else is doing it too, and it's just fun, and there's this move of the speaker, but really it's the words of the speaker that lead into our cabin times where the most movement happens is because of these counselors who give up their week, and it's powerful. Sometimes we just got to power through and bust through and say, I'm going to endure this weariness so that something more can come. And something more can then maybe even bring out my best because I've pushed through my pain point. And so perhaps we could be doing more. Maybe in those spaces we like to rise to that challenge and it irks something in us and it awakens this beast that says, I want to achieve and I want to do more and I want to make a difference. And sometimes we need someone to call us to pick up our pace, to help us realize that we maybe have settled. We don't believe that there's more that we can bring. We have to follow someone who's running at a faster pace so that we can, even if we're struggling, sometimes we need to struggle to pursue someone or pursue something. Maybe someone sees something in us that we do not. And there are times where when we're weary, it can bring out the worst in us, right? We can go from maybe being a leader in our home to being just a manager. Stop that. Change that. Do this. Go to the bathroom. Pull up your panties. Wipe your booty. Not in that order. Didn't work that way. Wash your hands. Yes, with soap. Yes, dry them. Don't rub them on your brother's face. Right. But this can bring out the worst. I can move from leader to manager. And at some point in weariness, I can move to being a dictator. And now I move into this apathy. I just handle it. Just deal with it, coworker. Boss, you do that. Honey, do you see this list that you've made for me? Do you want me to sleep? Like, this isn't, that's not from personal experience. That's just trying to relate. Jessica's not here. Our kids are home sick. Honey, I love you. Didn't think about how that would be come out. I've got two kids at home, right, Kaylin and Warren. I've found, again, continuing with the sleep aspect, if I lay down to read with them, or if I look, just try to snuggle, or if I'm just even laying on the floor playing, you know, I might let out a yawn, start mutter some of the silliest things, and I'm out. A couple different stories. I was telling Kaylin recently, so our routine at home is that, you know, we get all ready for bed, we get in bed, and then we read a Bible story, and then we read a book of her choosing, and then we will pray, and then we will sing. And usually between praying and singing is when she asks for a story. And usually she wants mom to tell the story because dad can't make it through a story. But two stories that I started this last month or so is I started telling a story about a green giraffe that raps. Who knows why? That's what came out, and that's the last thing I remember saying. But apparently I listed off a bunch of adjectives, and then I said, and he provides. And Jessica goes, he provides what? Like, where is the story going? What in the world? And I said, I just know he raps. I don't know what in the world he's doing. And there's another time where, and Kaylin asked us to use the animals, and so she asked for a bear, and I said, all right, we've got this bear, he's off in his area, and he makes friends with this large duck. And suddenly, in my mind, we're looking at art at Park Elementary from students. So I went from the middle of the forest with a bear and a duck making friends, and now I'm at our local school looking at student art. I don't know. So, but sometimes in those tired spaces, right, we can power through, or maybe we medicate ourselves. That's a pretty pointed statement. We medicate with coffee. We medicate with soda pop, energy drinks, Camu Camu, apparently that's a drink. I medicate with ice cream and cookie dough. Been on this kick with Hudsonville ice cream. They've got this brownie batter cookie dough. You can't hardly find it at the store because it's so good. But sometimes, right, we medicate with television, or we medicate with social media, we medicate with working out, medicate with working, we find side hustles, we volunteer, the list can go on, whatever applies in your life. We find those things to fill our time to avoid the difficulties, the frustrations, the hardships, and we find ways to take care of ourselves in that way. And they're not all bad. I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things. But at what point are we just using that to get away with something else? Sometimes when we're tired, it's helpful then to seek out counsel or coaching. And so I've started going up to Wabash, Indiana. There's a pastor there by the name of Dave Phillips. And Dave Phillips is offering coaching sessions to pastors. And I'm pretty new to this thing still, and it probably is helpful to jump ahead 50 years in life and gain some wisdom and experience and counsel. And so I'll sit down with Dave, and we got about an hour, and I'll ask him some questions. And it's kind of up to me where the discussion goes. And I'll share some things, and he'll ask a question, I'll respond, and then he'll ask another question, and I'll ask him a question, and he doesn't answer, he asks another question, and it's like, come on, Dave, you're supposed to be coaching me here, and he says, oh, I am. And through that, there's been challenges to commitment, there's been challenges to courage, there's been challenges to just asking questions, and be okay if there's not an answer. Can I sit in that tension of I'm not sure what to do with this, and I like having answers. And I'm learning how little I engage with the experience and relationship with God. This is me personally. I have such a planning, such a preparing, such a mentality of let's figure this thing out that I so often read scripture or I pray with this theological lens of I want to understand and how does this feed and is that right? Is that what that person's saying? Does that really fit with what's theologically correct and these doctrines and these dogmas and all these churchy words? Does it all fit? And he says, when was the last time you read scripture and cried? I said, never. And so we talked about that a little bit. But he said, when was the last time you really let scripture wash over you? And actually to experience that so that then the relationship with God can be amplified instead of just in this planning, processing, headset, mind games, over-analyzation mentality. Are we seeking out those folks in our lives? So for a moment here, I want to turn this to you. I'm going to put a couple thoughts. We'll turn to the scriptures, and then we'll turn it back to us. So as you think about your life, how did you get through the rat race? As you're even in the rat race now, as you're in life and you're in your regular routine, the grind of it all, how are you getting through? Are you a power thrower? Are you going to bust through? I'm going to make it happen. I don't care who gets in the way. Are you maybe someone who medicates? Are you maybe someone who likes to time travel and bust forward 50 years with seeking counsel from someone? Are you someone who is intentional to find intimate investment in your personal experience in life with Jesus? And he invites us to enjoy a life. Not that it's always fun or easy, right? You know that better even than I do. But to know that, am I willing to invest in myself by investing in God? So we're going to hang out on Matthew 11, and we're going to start off again with Matthew 11, 28. We'll go through the passage, share a couple thoughts, and then we will turn it back to us all. So Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And so to build up to this verse, I want to jump back to the middle of Matthew 11. And so Matthew 11, Jesus is questioned by the followers of his cousin John the Baptist. So he answers some of the reply, and they have this back and forth, and then Jesus pivots because there's a crowd growing. There's people that are here, and not just religious leaders, but people from the town and from the area. And as Jesus continues to grow in his knownness, what's the term for that? That he is becoming popular, folks are traveling to come and see this guy. He's got an influence that's growing beyond just a couple people. So he has this interaction with the followers of John the Baptist, and then he goes in on the religious leaders. He goes in on the crowds. And he says in verse 16, to what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang the dirge, and you did not mourn. And we can be so moved by others. We can be so moved in the ways of the world that we begin to expect God to be moved in the same ways. We want God to operate in the ways that we prefer and the ways that we see. It's like my three-year-old says, "Dada, let's play music and dance, and then we'll be married." And we dance, and we're married, and then it's just fun. But, right, but children say, "I want to play my song," right? And then, "God, now you dance. I play my song, and you dance." Do we treat God that way? I'm going to do my thing, and you do what I expect you to do. God, I'm gonna do things, and this is how it should be. God, what in the world? We did our part, God. Now you do yours. We did our part. Now you fall in line with the rules. Why are you not doing what I want? We played the game. We ran the race. We did this thing. We're the ones living here on earth, going through all of this hard stuff. We've lived our lives even to the best of our ability, and still no answer, God. Where in the world are you? Still no sign of your spirit at work. What in the world? And this God we follow, as maybe we have that response, he smiles down at our efforts with the love of a faithful father, like Aslan, who says in the book Prince Caspian, "Things never happen the same way twice, little one." And so this father, as we are moved in these places of frustration and hunger and anger and hanger and whatever else it might be, in these different reactions to this God who is not moving, or maybe he moved in a different way and it didn't turn out like we wanted, right? And this father is only moved by that which glorifies him. So what glorifies God? A heart full of trust and a heart full of belief that our only hope is in Jesus. So picking up in verse 18, "For John came neither eating nor drinking. And they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" So we have this generation who says, "God, you should be doing what we expect. We're doing it the way that you tell us to, and you're not responding." But when he does come, and he comes in a different way than expected, they say, "Well, that's not what we thought it was, and it's not who we think it is." We're going to call out all the ways that he doesn't fit in the way that we expect. He doesn't fit in the way that we desire. It's not really restful then when he comes in a different way than we expect. It can be hard to pivot when things go awry. So this Jesus guy is pretty wild. He lists the labels put upon John. He lists the labels put upon himself, and then he denounces them as the words of fools. Because he follows up right after this, and he says, "But wisdom is proved right by her deeds." So I ask you, would you regard your reality for a moment as you look at your marriage? Think about your boss. Think about your child or family member, a friend or a neighbor. Where are people putting labels upon you? Or where is it they're not coming through? Or where is it maybe even to flip the script and say, "God, if I'm willing to rest in you, God, where is it that I'm then moving to follow and pursue these people in ways that they don't expect, ways that I don't expect, and I'm willing to do that because I know there's a need for something different to happen because my marriage is a wreck and my kids are all over the place and I don't know what to do and I just keep doing the same darn thing. Am I willing to be transformed, to change, to do something different? And is it possible that different thing is to rest in God? Is it possible that maybe we look for the evidence of a loving and faithful Father who calls us to come? It's not a passive faith. It's not just a Sunday attendance. It's a calling that just prompts something in our spirit to respond to. Not just to do that next thing that the church asks you to do, but to do the thing that you are prompted to do. To seek and see the compassion and presence of Jesus, because I promise you it's there. I don't know what it looks like, and I know maybe that sounds hollow, depending on what's going on in life. But I do believe that he is at work and he is moving. So Jesus, he goes on, and he calls out each of the towns where he did miracles. And so he's going in on the religious leaders, and now he's pivoting to the people and these people who have traveled to come see him. And he does these miracles, and the people did not respond. They did not repent. And so he goes, "Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you." And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No. You will go down in Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. So we've got this Jesus guy who often, so often, we portray him as this loving dude. And he is those things, and yet he is not afraid to step in and say some pretty strong stuff to these people. He's saying, you did not respond. You, not only that, you are then against me. If you're not with me, then we've got a problem. If you are not following and responding to the work of the Lord in your home, you're not responding to the work that God is doing in you, you are blind. You are aside. It would have been better if I'd gone somewhere else. Town after town witnessed miracle after miracle. And Jesus didn't sneak, right? He wasn't like finding the back ways and only going through that and finding ways through the skirting the side streets and getting the heck out of Dodge every single town. No, he was going downtown. He was going to these places. He was finding those side streets and going to them as well. But Jesus was not one that was just trying to just hide away in ways that we can just recognize that if we really look at how he spent his time, he was healing. When he was out away trying to get alone, his followers, his disciples were following him, but there were people from across the country seeking him out, finding him out in these bushes. And he was with his bride. He was with his lamb. He was with his love. And so if we do believe that Jesus is the lover of the world and he is defending his bride to be here, come on, my creation, there's more than you are settling for. Don't settle for the normal. Settle for something much higher. That there's rest to be found if we're willing to set aside the standards that we create. And so consider a couple passages here. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They are as red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Moving to John 6:63-65. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and of life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. So if we believe that there is a God, if we believe he is present, if we believe that he is loving, if we believe he is faithful, what is keeping us from pursuing changed lives that transform our families? I mean, if that is the process, if we desire and want those things, then he's the one that provides them, then let's pursue him. Instead of settling into what we normally do and going back to the daily grind, and this is just how we've operated and it's just what we know. My sister Natalie is a CPA out in California, Los Angeles. She wanted a different experience than Indiana, so she went to Los Angeles, California. Hey, Natalie. And she's talked about she likes who she works with and she likes how the company goes, but it's just the work is just different. And, you know, is she willing to put in the time and the effort to try something, even if it's not in the same line of work that she has been in? Is she willing to make that adjustment and put herself out there and say, I don't really know what this is going to do, but I'm going to make that phone call. I'm going to do that thing. And so would answering the call to come and rest, would that, could that, are you willing for it to change your life? And so instead of powering through, instead of medicating, instead of seeking out advice from people in our circle, do we willing to find an experience of greatness through transformation? So jumping back to Matthew 11, Jesus delivers this passionate lecture where he's calling out all these different towns and these people and these religious leaders and those listening, and then he ends with this sentence, and then he's going to pivot. And he says, but I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. And Sodom's the place where he destroyed it. Lot was there with his family, and Lot and his family left, and Lot's wife looked back, and she turned into salt. And the Sodom was destroyed. And he's saying it'd be better to be there than where they are now. And you ever are in a situation where you're just ticked off, and you're ready to just go off, and you do. And then you just need to take a breath, because you've been speaking for the last 15 minutes going off on somebody. Or longer, maybe, if you need it. And you just take a breath. Well, Jesus, I don't know how long it took him to actually say all these words, but then he takes a breath, right? And sometimes we just take a breath that goes... And he pivots. And sometimes in those places when we know that maybe we've been going off, even if we're right, we take a breath and maybe we pray. And that's what Jesus does here. And at that time, Jesus declared in verse 25, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. So be a little child. And how my eyes have been opened to that in the last 3 years. To follow my faithful Father, that's a freeing feeling. And I hope you are willing to possibly consider that could be experienced. Maybe you're experiencing it now, and maybe you are free. Maybe you haven't, and you had been dinged up by a dad. I promise that a heavenly Father is better than any father you've had. It challenges me to be a faithful father, and it stirs in myself a desire to pursue a faithful father. So I'm going to invite the band up, and I'll share a couple more thoughts, and then we're going to sing a song. So as I said at the beginning, I was at the Big Dipper, and I was there with our Rockers ladies, and we'd had some different conversation, and I was walking up to order my heavenly treat, which was... vanilla ice cream, Reese cups, and Snickers. It's real good. And I was stopped as I was walking forward to order that and stopped by a mom and four kids. And she said, are you Andrew? I said, yeah. She said, I'm Courtney, and I think my brother is dating your sister-in-law. Oh my gosh, yes, we actually just talked about you this weekend. We have a connection. There's another friend of ours that we've met that has a connection with you. And so we had this introduction, and so I met her kids, and there was another boy with them. And so I knelt down on their level and didn't realize how long I was going to be knelt down on their level. I was talking with the kiddos, and they had so much to say. They were so ready to engage and to have a conversation. So I kept asking them questions, and they were just excited to share about birthdays and climbing flagpoles and trees and on, and what a treat that was. And these children followed their faithful mama. They didn't know who I was. She didn't quite know who I was, and then she did. But they followed their faithful mama, and then through that, they felt free to speak to me. How so for us would we willingly follow a faithful person in our lives towards newfound freedom? Who are those people that we follow? Who are those people that we trust? Are we willing to pursue and do what they do? And follow what they would say. And can we then believe Jesus in that same manner? Is he trustworthy? Would we trust them to be all in on how they live and do the same for our own? So as I said at the beginning, come and rest are the two words that have rung in my spirit this week. And I just wasn't sure where to go as Pastor Brock wrapped up this series this last week. And just wasn't sure where we were headed. And just to come and to rest, continue to be in me. And as I said, that's to actively choose to respond and follow, to find rest through presence with Jesus and identifying ways to know who we are and what we say yes to. So it's an active invitation, not only to then come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I have a need. Can I rest with you? Can I rest with you? Can I sleep here? But it's also an invitation to say, my spirit is open, Lord, and I want to host your spirit. I want to have this Holy Spirit come upon me. And I want him to rest on me. And I want to see what in the world's going to happen when he rests upon me. To posture our hearts and state to the Spirit of God, come, rest, and live in me. So the band is going to play a song called Rest on Us. And they'll play for a bit, encourage you to sing as you learn the words. I'll come back up, share a couple quick thoughts, and then we will...
To follow up on Andrew real quick, we live in a society where weakness is, or resting is a weakness. We're told if you stop and you rest, then you show you're weak and you're lazy. And so right now, I want to ask you all to just stand, stay in your seats, open up your hearts. Just let the Holy Spirit wash over you. Invite him to come in and just rest. Living life weary is not the best way to do it.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart bound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates, let heaven on in. Come rest on us, come rest on us, come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you will fill it. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Oh, come rest on us, Holy Spirit. Come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me.
Oh. We're going to sing one more piece of that in just a moment, but I encourage you and challenge you and call you out and call you up, whatever words it works to convey to you. Could we follow a more faithful Father? Are we willing to feel free to speak to him? Maybe you don't. Maybe you're locked up. Maybe you've had a tough experience with Jesus. Maybe you've been hurt by people. But you've got a Father who wants to just hug you. So even as you're here now, are you willing over the next few minutes to speak your sorrow, to express your excitement, to voice your victories, to enjoy life with him? And I know there's a lot of heaviness in the room. Y'all carry a lot, each of you. So in the next few moments, would you let the Holy Spirit rush upon you and wash over you? And maybe even a challenge, maybe it's further than that, is are you willing to do those same things with someone else in this room? Are you willing to name your need, to speak your sorrow, to express your excitement and voice your victories, to follow faithful friends together? I'm so grateful to have this church family. I hope that you feel like you're a part of it, whether you've been a part of it for today or 80 years. This is a good place to be. So let's sing, and I'll come up and pray in just a moment.
Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want.
Today, as we head off to whatever is next, God, to do so, maybe in a restful spirit, maybe in an active and involved and engaged and excited spirit, but God, as we walk out of these doors today, we're yours. God, we want to pursue, we want to follow and believe and trust and put ourselves out there, not to just have the sense of exposure, but to have a freedom of following you. Thank you that we get to have that freedom here in this country, in this place. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.